Millennial Influence, my podcast, 010, Addicted to Gaming. Welcome to this edition of my podcast, featuring the co-founders of Millennial Influence, Darren and Katie Sutton. Ow, my thumb hurts. Can my teenager really be addicted to gaming? We'll find out today as we check in with Darren and Katie.
Katie, do you remember when we were in college and you had to do a fake case study and you chose to do a case study on someone with Nintendo Finger?
I do.
And I say Nintendo Finger because it's been so long ago that Nintendo was the only gaming system out.
This is true.
Even back then, we were talking about students who were becoming addicted to gaming. Do you really think gaming is an addiction?
I think that we've seen evidence of that over the years in student ministry, and I really think that it has gotten progressively worse as the new gaming systems have come out, and as gaming becomes more and more connected to internet gaming, I think that the addiction is very evident among probably most teenagers all the way up through students in college. It's very addicting.
It is addicting. You know, here's what a study in London came out and said just not too long ago, that playing video games triggers the release of dopamine in the brain. Researchers discovered that dopamine production in the brain doubles during video game play, and the increase of that chemical was almost the same as when a person was injected with amphetamines or the ADD drug Ritalin. Mm-hmm. It really makes that almost the same thing as taking a dose of speed, and all you're doing is sitting in front of a computer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the way they act, too, when they're gaming.
That's absolutely true. And those of us who are parents know that. They get quite intense. So what are some signs that your student might be addicted? You can actually find some of these symptoms at www.computeraddiction.com. And as we all know, if it's on the internet, it must be true. So computer addiction, if your student has a sense of well-being or euphoria while at the computer, which goes right into the dopamine being released in their brain, it just makes them feel good. And sometimes it's almost like Pavlov's dog. You hear the "you've got mail" or the sign-on signal, and your kid just starts to salivate because they're ready to play. Inability to stop. As with every addiction, sometimes you cannot physically stop yourself from doing it. You crave more and more time at the computer. You're getting up in the middle of the night so that people don't catch you on the computer. You're sneaking around for computer time. You're thinking about gaming activities during your other activities. So you can't focus on school. You can't focus on football. You can't focus on choir because all you're thinking about is whether or not you're going to be able to win the next level of World of Warcraft. You start to neglect your family and friends. You're irritable when you're not at the computer. You start to have trouble at home or trouble at school or trouble at your job. You're using gaming to escape real life problems. You're playing for longer and longer and longer periods of time. So all of those are signs of addiction to anything, Katie. So why do you think so many parents are in denial that computer gaming could even be an addiction? Because there are a lot of folks who just don't believe it to be so.
I think you're right. A lot of people think, I think where it comes from, Darren, is that when we're looking at addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs, you can see the physical symptoms of deterioration pretty early on. And they can see how the drugs, the alcohol, are going to eventually ruin their lives. But, I mean, what's the big deal? These kids are just playing a game. How can that ruin their lives?
And most parents are just so excited that their kids aren't involved in drugs, mm-hmm, or aren't involved in antisocial, so to speak, behavior, that they encourage their kid to be at the computer. I've heard parents say, if my student is at the computer, I know what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is, you don't. You don't know what they're doing. They're at the computer, and it's becoming a replacement for real life.
Yes, and that is where the trouble comes in with the whole gaming issue and the addiction to gaming, is when it starts replacing the things that your student used to like to do all the time. They used to like to play tennis all the time, but now all they do is play Xbox. They used to go to class and now they're skipping. Those kind of things, they grow when we're talking about gaming addictions. They start out very, very small and we're okay with it and we're happy with it. And really it has snowballed so quickly by the end of it, we start realizing my kid's been skipping school to play his gaming. He stayed up all night long for three nights in a row and hasn't eaten.
He flunked out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Had to take a year off because he can't come back to school because his grades were so bad because all he did was play video games. And with the invention now of internet games where you actually are interacting with other characters who are quote unquote real life characters, there actually is someone else on the other side of your computer controlling those characters. Students are almost fooled into believing they are social because they're having social interaction through this computer game with somebody who really does exist in their minds.
Or even in their own living room. They're sitting next to those guys. These guys are their friends, right? But they don't speak to each other. They're looking at the TV screen the whole entire time.
And if you try to speak to them, they make sure you know that you cannot be speaking to them because they have to pay attention to what they're doing.
That's right. I think when the game becomes more life for them than real life, those are definitely signs that you as a parent need to start limiting some of these behaviors. Unfortunately, over the last few years, we've been dealing with this in student ministry for 15 years, but in the last few years, I've seen some very serious, sad situations with guys and some girls, mostly guys. Guys are more visually stimulated, so they're naturally more attracted to gaming. But a lot of students who literally have almost flunked out of their senior year because they were gaming so much that they just stopped doing schoolwork, and their parents heartbroken, not knowing what to do, and really thought this was a positive thing when it started. So, Darren, with that in mind, how do you know where is the line between I'm just gaming for fun and the gaming is starting to become an addiction?
Well, I think anytime your student can't let it go, then you're in trouble. And they will use all kinds of excuses not to let it go. Well, I can let this go anytime, but I've gotten so far into this. Why shouldn't I see how much further I can go? Or I can let this go anytime, but I've invested some money in this. And so I want to recoup my money by selling my character or...
Can I talk about that briefly?
Sure.
These gaming systems have become quite an investment, especially with the new gaming systems that are $600 and up that have just come out.
At the taping of this podcast, two new computer gaming systems are brand new out on the market, and people were shooting each other in order to get a place in line to buy them. Okay. Addiction. People do that for drugs all the time. So there's an issue.
And that those are just the gaming systems. That doesn't count the hundreds of dollars that are going to be invested in games and in the subscription services to the online gaming that goes along with these systems. So yes, I mean, you as a parent are probably going to have invested hundreds of dollars in the gaming systems, the computer systems that your students are using. And you need to balance this in your mind, how important that is.
Right. Back to some warning signs. If your student is up late at night without your knowledge, if they're trying to hide their gaming habits from you, if they're reticent to do family activities because they prefer to be on the computer, as you were saying earlier, you may even be in the room with them so they feel like that's okay, but all they're doing is interacting with the computer. They're not interacting with the family. Those are all some danger signs. Really, the danger signs are similar to any addiction. Gambling, drinking, drugs, food. The problem with computer addiction is that computers, unlike some of those other substances, have become an everyday part of life that you almost have to function. And so your student really has to learn how to detox from that while still having a daily onslaught of that activity in their lives. And it's really important for you as the parent to help manage that. At this point, I only know of one computer addiction intervention program, and it happens to be in the Netherlands. It's not even in America. I'm shocked that we didn't think of that. And so because of that, unless you have a lot of money and want to send your kid to the Netherlands, you are the intervention program for your student. And it means, as we've said in a lot of other podcasts, you have to be the parent. You have to be the one who limits time. And obviously, you know, prevention, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or whatever that saying is, you know, so it's really important for you to try to prevent this from happening in the first place by keeping your computer out in the open and in a common family area, limiting time before they ever start, knowing what they're getting involved in, not allowing them to use a credit card of yours in order to purchase online gaming or characters. All of those things help prevent. But once your student is already involved in it, what are some things you can do? You can restrict computer usage. You can, there are software programs that you can buy that will tell you as the parent how much time your student has spent online, when they were online, what sites they were visiting while they were online, so that you can be a little bit more in touch with what your student's doing, because not all of us can be at home all the time when our kids are. And so that helps you track a little bit. Is it an invasion of privacy? Maybe. That's part of our job as parents.
That's right, to
know what our kids are doing, even if it feels like an invasion of privacy. You can enlist the help of family members, friends, professionals. Sometimes your student needs a professional counselor to overcome this addiction. Don't be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't make a mistake in thinking that this addiction is okay because it does not have the same physical effects as an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction. Addiction is destructive. It does not matter what the addiction is to, and you have to help your student learn how to manage that, whether it's gaming or another type of addiction.
I agree with that. And Darren, I think too that in limiting your student on their gaming, I think there are positive ways to do that as well, like reminding them of the things they used to do that they found fun. When you go somewhere away, don't allow them to take the gaming system with them. Leave the gaming system at home so that they remember, oh yeah, I used to like to do this all the time. Really monitor, are they still hanging out with their friends or have they isolated themselves? That's often a sign that we'll see is these kids who were very, very social start to isolate themselves from their friends. So you invite all their friends over that maybe they haven't seen in a while, or you encourage them to go out with their friends to do something instead of isolating themselves in the house or just going to the friend's house to do, to play gaming or play on the computer or whatever they're addicted to. Encourage them to do those outside activities that they used to love to do before they became so absorbed in their gaming.
Regardless of how you intervene, you must intervene.
Yes, it's very, very important for you to take this seriously because your kid is going to tell you all the right answers. They are going to say, it's not that big a deal. Everyone I know is doing this. Everybody around me doesn't think it's a big deal.
I could be a bad kid. Yeah. I'm not a bad kid,
so you should be happy.
It's a great argument.
It is.
It's an argument we
buy
as
parents. A lot of these
parents.
Kids are not bad kids. They're very intelligent. Often in the beginning of their addiction, they are able to keep their grades way up. They're incredibly intelligent, and they have to be in order to play all those logic games and get through the mazes and kill everything they're supposed to kill. They have to be smart. And
but
so
just like
these
any
are
addiction,
kids. It catches up with them eventually.
Right. Any addiction eventually will take you downhill. And so in all of that, the encouragement is this, because it sounds like gloom, despair, and agony on me. But the encouragement is that as a parent, you have the strongest influence in the life of your student, and you need to be aware of what's happening to them so that you can be intentional about your intervention, however far along that intervention needs to be. And so don't be afraid to intervene, especially with computer addiction. It's kind of a scary navigational system for us because most of us are not as computer savvy as our children are, and
right.
We are excited that they're not involved in something more dangerous, but it is dangerous. And so be proactive, be intentional, be involved, and don't be afraid to say to your student, I think you have a problem.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of My Podcast, music provided by Josh Wilson. For Darren and Katie Sutton and all the staff at Millennial Influence, I'm Melinda Kitzmiller, helping you impact generations for generations.